Welcome to this week's episode of Soccer Neophytes Podcast. It's Final Four week. We have a new leader at the top. And will Wolves ever score again? Lundberg, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I think this is our first time, just Nate and Chris.
Is it?
The whole year.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, we are much like Wolverhampton Wanderers squad. We are very light up front right now. We're a couple men down with no replacements, but that's all right. We can make this work.
That's fine. Yep, strong in the back.
That's right. Strong in the back. Well, it is Final Four weekend here in America. Actually, more specifically here in Arizona, we are hosting the Final Four. For our British listeners, it's the College Basketball Championships. What started out as a 68-team tournament has made its way down to the Final Four. And I don't really care about college basketball that much, but it does work out well because, Chris, you're also going to reveal your Final Four, for us.
That's true. That's true. We've cut it to eight and then we cut it to six and we're getting rid of two more to make it down to the one that I will select, at some point. I actually don't know when I'm supposed to select this team, but I know we got some good stuff before we get there over the next few weeks. So,
yeah, I was disappointed that we don't have Chris Smith on here today because he feels like he's got you nailed, and so I wanted to put him on the spot to have him pick your final four, but alas, he is not here. So
he has done better than both you and Andrew, significantly better over the first two cut down days. So
100%.
We'll see. You'll get a shot. You'll be the only one that gets to, you know, throw the finger to the wind and see what you think I'm going to do here. So,
I mean, in some ways it's like, it's a 66% chance, right? I mean, the chance of picking all four is probably less than that, but I'm not going to do the math. So, let's jump right into it. I think, you know, we're leading with this. This is a Neophyte Forward podcast. So let's lead with it. And then we can talk about some of what we'll do over the coming weeks afterwards. So I'm going to pick four teams. Let's make this fun. I'm going to pick four teams and you can tell me how many I got correct.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. I am going to go the Lundberg Final Four. I'm going to say is Forest, Villa, Wolves, and Palace. Forest, Villa, Wolves, okay. Palace. I mean, the worst I can do is 50%. So if I only got
It's true. It's really, yeah, you can't do.
I can't do worse than 50%. So if I did 50%, it's the worst I can do. But
yeah. Well, you got three out of four.
Okay, three out of
which
four.
Which is probably not super shocking. Like that was probably the most common probability there. So
yeah.
So you're just missing one, which means that either Arsenal or Brentford is in the final four. That's the other way we can look at this.
That is. Did you watch Brentford play this weekend?
I did not watch Brentford.
Let me ask this. When did you decide this final four?
I felt like I had a pretty good peg on it when I knocked it down to six.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still some unknown. But this to me is not surprising to myself based on if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, whenever we knocked it down to six. So
yeah, I mean, if I don't think I'm going to try and pick. I'll try and pick which of the two left that I think you're keeping in the final four, but I'm not going to try and replace someone because then that'll knock me down to 50%. It'll be a mess. So I'm going to go with, I think Arsenal is still left.
It's true. Arsenal is in the mix.
Okay. So which of the other four, which three of the other four did I get correct?
So we'll start with the three. So you're right on Wolves, you're right on Palace, and you're right on Villa. So Forest it breaks out. My heart. It breaks my heart to knock Forest out. As much as I'm still 100% backing my previous claim that I have no problem rooting and pulling for a team that might not make it through relegation. And I think that's still possible. But I just didn't see anything over this past couple of weeks that made me, you know, excited enough to go down that road with a stranger that I don't know enough about. So as much as the kits are good, I was very excited to think through purchasing a Forest kit at some point in the future, a non-red Forest kit for that matter. But alas, here we are. So.
Wow. Well, this is going to be a miserable final few weeks for Chris and Andrew because they hate Arsenal and I think they tolerate Wolves, but they hate talking about Wolves as much as we do. So this could be, I don't think they really care about Palace or Villa. So this could be a pretty bad.
It'll be fun.
That'll be fun. Well, so the hope and the plan is I think, let's see, what do we have? We have one,
eight, seven,
two, three, four, five, six. I think we have 7 episodes left of the season. The final one will be the grand reveal. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I think we have 6 episodes left. So my hope is in these 4 of those final 6 episodes, I will try and we'll try and bring on a supporter of one of those clubs to do their damnedest to convince you as to why you should support them. I will do my best. I think it's nothing finer than to have someone from these communities try and convince you. So we might have to shift our recording times around. We're going to have to mess with that maybe a little bit, but as much as we can, I'm going to try and get people from the communities to come on to try and convince you to support them. So
it's great.
Yeah, that should be fun. And then that final episode on the final match week of the season, you'll make your announcement to the world.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. So you're looking forward to it.
Great. Great. Well, we did have soccer after a couple week hiatus, multiple weeks. I mean, it's been 3 weeks since I've even recorded from many
it's
of us.
It's been a while. Recorded. Yeah.
Chris Smith did a great job imitating all of us a few weeks ago in his solo episode. A solo episode, I've done one, and it is hard to pull off. It's hard to keep the energy, but Chris did a good job. But there was soccer over the weekend, and the biggest news, obviously, is Arsenal is now on the top of – or not Arsenal. Liverpool is now on the top of the table after coming back and beating Brighton 2-1 and then sitting around and watching City and Arsenal draw 0-0. Liverpool has hopped over Arsenal, and this very exciting race continues to be tight at the top, but with Liverpool, a new leader in the top. What do you think, Chris?
You know, they've been playing well for a while now. And I honestly, you know, I mean, my kid's a Liverpool supporter, so I hear it all the time in my own house, but I was looking forward to some more fireworks from Arsenal and City if somebody wanted to take it. And that was a defensive battle. Like there just wasn't a lot there.
There was not a lot. There's only a couple shots on target by either team. Erling Haaland missed a pretty
missed just a silly left footer at the end. At least he could have put something on frame, but that was poor form at its best.
Yeah. So Arsenal and City share the spoils, and that allows Liverpool to move to the top. And yeah, Liverpool has obviously been on a great run of form. They did what they needed to do, drawing with City as well. And then coming back to beat Brighton. Liverpool they're the comeback kings this year. They have garnered 26 points from a losing position, which if you told me that in out of context, I wouldn't really know, but that is the fifth most all-time.
Wow.
All-time Premier League, still with 9 matches to play. So, Liverpool at the top of the table. I'm curious, Chris, and you and I are maybe more aligned in the teams that we despise or don't despise than the other guys. But I'm curious, which team would you want to see out of those three teams? Which one would you want to see win it?
It's so hard. I feel like it's a biased question because I'm still keeping Arsenal in my mix right now. And they're so, and I don't want to tip my hand to where I'm going, but they're in my mix for my team. And then I have two sons that are both pretty big EPL fans, and one's a Liverpool fan and one's a City fan.
Yeah.
So let's just say this, I think the team that I enjoy watching the most out of those three, and I don't really care about history as much because I'm new to this. I like City. And I like watching City. So I think from that perspective, I would say, separate from any bias I might have towards a team that I might be potentially picking here in a few weeks, I would say City. But again, that's going to come with a grain of salt. So.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure. I know both Andrew and Chris would not say Arsenal. They hate Arsenal with a passion. I feel like they both might. I feel like Chris Smith would have a hard time saying City because of the derby factor. So he'd maybe go with Poole to win it. I think Andrew would maybe pick City.
Would he say, help me understand the, as a United supporter and the crosstown rival, like the angst for Arsenal even more so than City for Chris? And I wish we could ask him directly, but help me understand it as somebody that's new.
Well, I think he just hates Arsenal fans, and I don't know if he hates them more than City. I'm not sure about that, but I think he really doesn't like the team, the manager, and the fans. So
got it. So it's the combination of all of it.
Yeah, I think it is. So,
and then he'd say that City doesn't have fans anyway. So
of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I for sure want Arsenal to win it. Titus is an Arsenal fan. I like Arsenal's squad. Arteta is super annoying, so I'm not a huge fan of that. But I don't want.
You're done with City. I'm done with City.
And yeah. I don't want Liverpool to win either. And so my dream scenario is, and I think I've said this on the pod before, my dream scenario in all of its pettiness is for Wolves to beat Liverpool on the final day in Arsenal to deny Liverpool winning, and for Arsenal to give it the title to Arsenal.
Which would be great. The Hughes household would be a celebratory bunch sure.
It would be wild.
I love, just for you guys, just the fact that you have at least that reality to potentially look forward to, even if it doesn't play out. It makes the next month and a half super entertaining. So
totally. No, it should be fun. I mean, I'm not sure that watching Wolves is going to be all that fun over the next month and a half with the rash of injuries. We're starting teenagers who have barely played any Premier League football in our striker position. Our top three goal scorers are injured still. It is
right. They're doing their darndest to not have me pick them. I'm telling you that. Like, there hasn't been a lot to watch over the last month. I mean, yeah. After it seemed like February, like January, February was fantastic, like so entertaining.
And March, the beginning of March, I mean, there was so much excitement. But when Cunha went down, and we just don't have any, we have nothing up front anymore.
There's no depth. Yeah.
There's no depth. We didn't bring anyone in January. We loaned out our two other senior strikers. And now we legitimately have two teenagers who were playing with U21s who are starting up front. And
it's wild.
It's hard to watch. And it's so disappointing when you're like, that's clear mismanagement when you look and you see, just don't loan those guys out.
And or take advantage of the transfer window yourself. This is all new stuff for me, for somebody that's new, but not realizing how important that can be. Like, injuries are this feels way crazier than the NFL, where you've got 38 matches or whatever it is. And like, there's so many guys that are hurt that are not playing, you know, they're playing 10, 15, 20, like, you know, NFL feels that way sometimes, but this is way more significant. So you got to have a whole lot more depth. And I didn't realize that, especially with all these other matches in FA Cup and all these other things going on. They're not just playing those 38. So
yeah, that's right.
Do we have on that topic? Is there in all your? I haven't seen anything come across the group chat on like likelihood based on remaining schedule. It matters who you've played. Like, who's got the toughest schedule coming down the stretch here between the three?
They do have between those top three.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple things floating around. I think I texted you guys. Like the final, they had like the Premier League had sent out a kind of a list of the final matches, like the run-in,
mm-hmm.
and which matches they thought were going to, or like what teams had the easiest schedule based on points per team.
Right.
And I'm looking it up right now, actually. So, average points of remaining opponents, Newcastle has the easiest schedule going forward. And out of the final three teams, Arsenal has the most difficult, then Man City, and then Liverpool.
Liverpool's up two on the field and has the easiest schedule.
And in theory has the easiest schedule. Sure. So
interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, it will be really, really interesting to see, especially when we look at some of the like relegation teams like Everton, Burnley have easier schedules, while Luton has a pretty hard schedule. So I think Sheffield's kind of right in the middle. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes down. But the other big news is Everton is now winless in 12 straight and has just released their financials and lost another $100+ million. And it seems like more sanctions are incoming. So it is,
so Forest might be safe is what you're saying. Forest and Luton.
Forest and Luton might be safe. I mean, it is whatever's happening at Everton is just such a shit show. And they have escaped relegation the last few years by the skin of their teeth. And it just is. It's time. It's time. It's time for them to go. Let them scrap I'm not, back, but I'm done right? with them. I'm done with everything.
I'm not looking at their whole table, but like, I feel like they won like one or two, like immediately after that original points deduction came down. And I don't, if that doesn't seem like more than like 12 weeks ago. So if they haven't won since then, I think that was the last time that they won. Cause we were talking about how, oh gosh, is this going to be the kick in the pants that gets Everton moving again? Cause they were actually playing pretty well.
Yeah, they and, won. Yeah, look, they won four in a row. So they lost 3-0 to United. I think that was the week after the point deduction happened, and it was like, dang, they just got spanked right after that point deduction. Then they went to beat Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, and Burnley. Didn't give up a goal in any of those matches. 1-0, 3-0, 2-0, 2-0, and then have gone on to.
And haven't won since.
That's
crazy.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 losses and 5 draws. So.
Wild.
That's brutal.
Well, they made the top 8. I mean, sounds like I made a good decision a few weeks ago. So
they did. Yeah, we might be saying the same thing about Forest too coming soon.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that before I picked the final four, but hey, maybe I'm got a sixth sense.
Well, we also have Tottenham with another great comeback victory over Luton. They won 2-1. That leaves them firmly entrenched in fifth place, but with Villa's victory over Wolves, Villa still has 3 points on them, but Tottenham has a game in hand and is only has only a 2-point goal differential. So Tottenham's very, very much in the mix to finish top four.
Do they play each other still?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure about that.
I feel like I recently saw that game.
Aston Villa. Yeah, I think that game has happened recently. Aston Villa has one of the more difficult schedules coming up. So I think if you're a Spurs fan, you got to be feeling pretty confident about the likelihood of making it into the top four. But then again, if you're a Spurs fan, you probably also are used to bottling it. So maybe don't feel confident about anything. So.
Yeah, there's gravity pulling downwards also. So it's not just pie in the sky.
That's right. Newcastle wins a 4-3 thriller over West Ham early Saturday morning. I very nearly put money on Newcastle to win when they were down 2-1. And then when they went down 3-1 right after the break, I was like, whew, I'm glad I didn't put any money on them. And then they came back and scored 3, Harvey Barnes with the winner in the 90th minute. Chelsea also managing to play just absolutely mediocre, football, 2-2 draw with Burnley, Cole Palmer with 2 goals, and we'll get to Cole Palmer in a minute when we get to the best in the Weghorst. But yeah, I have some words about him.
Chelsea really is as mediocre can get.
It is, yeah. It just feels like they're never going to win or have a good result. It feels like they've been in 11th for the entire season.
And doesn't it feel like that? A lot of that is coming from the top, like just how the whole organization is run. Like they're just, I don't know. I feel like I learned a lot about all that in the beginning of the year after I just came back from my trip from Stamford Bridge and learned about all the history and all the new stuff that's been going on with the new owner and all that. And just, yeah, it's not working.
Yeah. And I think I read or saw that, Todd Boehly is maybe stepping down from his role as chairman. they're trying to get him out as chairman. Obviously, whatever he's done
hasn't worked. Not any good.
Yeah. I mean, he's the owner of the club, so they can't remove him completely, but maybe right. just be a silent owner and let the professionals do your work.
It's like the it's like what Jerry Jones needs in his life.
That's right. Although I love just seeing the Cowboys suck.
Oh, no, I do too.
This language like, way.
They feel kind of like the Cowboys of the Premier League.
They are, yes. The Chelsea are the Cowboys of the Premier League. There is no doubt.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad I'm connecting the dots here.
I mean, there were so many goals scored over the weekend. Every team scored on Saturday except for Wolves. The other game was Sheffield Fulham finishes 3-3. And I really only bring that up because the winner was scored by Rodrigo Muniz in the 93rd minute. And two amazing things about it. You haven't been around long enough to know our deep, deep love for Adame Traore, former Wolves player, running back. Just he's the guy, the baby oil guy we've talked about. I don't know if you know who we're talking about.
I know that there's an award. I know that there's a Traore award, correct?
Okay. He is just, he's one of our all-time favorites. He was on Wolves. He is built like a linebacker, is just jacked. Look up Adame Traore.
Oh, I've already got it pulled up right here. But oh, fantastic.
He puts baby oil on himself because, like, people just man. No one gets fouled in the league more than Adame Traore, and they do not call the fouls. But he puts baby oil on his arms so defenders can't hold on to him. He's
he looks like Giannis for all of our listeners. He looks like a soccer version of Giannis.
Yeah, that's a good shout. He had an assist. He's actually played quite well for Fulham since he came back from injury, but he had this beautiful little assist where he kind of pops it up and just kind of floats it up and over a defender within the 18 yard box. And Muniz just does a side bicycle kick and just smacks it in the back of the net for the winner. I mean, you got to look up the clip. It's great. It was a great goal.
I love his quote online. I'm sure you guys have talked about this in the past since he's such a legend on this podcast, but it's hard to believe, but I don't do weights. It's genetic. I exercise, but I just gain mass very quickly.
Dude, he's so good. He's a beast. Well, let's go ahead and jump to the best in the Weghorst. My best of the week. I don't know if you have anything, Chris, but my best of the weekend, Chris Wood. I do not like Nottingham Forest. I don't particularly like Chris Wood. He always seems to score against Wolves, but Chris Wood scored this like no look header. It ended up being the equalizer, but he's running towards the goal. Morgan Gibbs-White chips this beautiful pass over the defender. Chris Wood kind of jumps and does this like no look header and like pops it up and over the keeper and in the back of the goal. I don't think I've seen many goals like that. It wasn't like that amazing. It was just, I hadn't seen it before. No look backward kind of header over the top of the keeper.
It's good. I'm pulling it up right now. Do you want to do your Weghorst first? I don't have a best. I have a Weghorst though.
Give me your Weghorst.
I touched base on a little bit earlier with the City game because that's the only game that I saw, but gosh, Haaland does not look like the same player. Like he at all. Like his missed left footer in like the 88th or 90th minute might even been injury time. It was like a swing and a miss. And I don't feel like I've seen that. I haven't seen as much. I mean, I watched him previous to this year, but it seems like he hasn't been as dynamic and as clutch as he was in the past. And so I don't know if defenders have figured him out or if he's just kind of in a funk, but he doesn't seem like the player you guys have all been building him out to be every time I watch him. So.
Well, I feel like I've seen a couple of those this year, and yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's one of those things where he still has 18 goals this year in the Premier League.
Right.
He still
leads. Is the bar just too high?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. Oh, Barry Bonds only hit 40 home runs this year. right?
Right, right. It does feel like that. But no, that play, like, it just, I mean, it, maybe it was a microcosm of just, hey, like, this is what happens to everybody else. Like, you're just gonna have, you know, opportunities that you miss and you don't come through, and you're just not used to really seeing that from him because he's just been so, you know, unstoppable. So, but yeah, no, that looked very like pedestrian, like, oh, like, not that I could make any of these plays, but you see it and you're like, that's just silly. Like, how do you not make contact with that ball right there? Because that's all he needed to do to cause something good to happen potentially. So that was my, I didn't watch a lot of soccer this weekend, but I saw that, and that jumped to the top of my list. So.
Totally. And it feels so unfair, right? Because you have a guy who's just, he's so prolific at scoring, but if
And
he
you, hey,
does.
when you draw that attention, you gotta draw the critique too. So deal with it, Erling.
He has 29 goal involvements all season. He has 6 in the Champions League, 5 in the FA Cup, and 18 in the Premier League. So he's doing all right still. He's still doing all right. Well, my Weghorst, Cole Palmer, for Chelsea, a remarkable footballer with a horrible haircut. We've talked about how bad his haircut
Yes,
is.
we've talked about Cole Palmer.
It is so bad. And it made me realize his penalty kick this weekend was, he did one of those just dink shots straight at the keeper. So the keeper dove and he just like kicked it straight, but just kind of floated
It's
it.
at a slow pace, like the messy, it's like the messy one, right?
So he did
So
that.
dumb.
I don't know if he's been doing this celebration all season. I haven't noticed it enough, but I think I noticed it because it felt just so out of place. But he does like the cold celly, like, ooh, I'm cold. And
So
he did
dumb.
it after that. And I'm like, gosh, I don't, it's not fair. I know he's a human being. I know, like, I don't have a hairline that's like something to be celebrated or praised. But it's just so hard for me to take it seriously. And it makes me so mad. I'm like, no, you don't get to do that celebration. You're such a dork. You're like such a dork. I don't want to see you doing that celebration. It makes you look worse. Just do a knee slide, kick the corner flag. I don't care, but no, not the cold. Cold. And he
It
did it.
looks like he's done it a lot, because all I had to do was search Cole Palmer celebration GIF, and there's like 12 like stills of like different games that he's doing
I didn't know that was his celly until this weekend. And I am like, it makes me like him that much
It
less.
doesn't, it shouldn't make you any less irritated, I guess is my point.
So that's
Oh, the hair. I'm glad there was a Cole Palmer reference so I could re-Google and look at stills of the haircut. So thank you.
You know what? While we're talking about hair, we haven't done a lot of hair watch this season, but I
No,
referenced
we haven't. I'm actually kind of disappointed. I feel like we need to, you know,
it's
we've
got to
got
be on.
seven episodes left. I
Yeah. I
mean,
mean, if you see hair, you got to bring it up because some of these guys, we're so used to their hair that we forget how epic they are comparatively. But while we're talking about hair, and I referenced it in a text, former United player, now current Luton Town goal scorer, Talith Chong has just epic hair. He scored over the weekend. Shout out
oh
to,
yeah, it's
like,
like a Valderrama look.
yeah, it might even be bigger than Valderrama. It's a big head of hair.
I like that he doesn't do anything with it either, and it's just out.
It's just out. It's out.
It's great. Tahith Chong. There we go.
Heath Chong. Well, speaking of Weghorst as well, let's talk about best bet. We are on, I don't know if it's an unprecedented run, but I'd have to do some serious searching. We haven't picked one correct in a couple weeks. And out of the last 3 match weeks, we've only picked one correct. I picked Liverpool City. And after out of the last 4 match weeks, we've only picked 2. You
Yep.
picked West
I
Ham
picked West Ham.
4 weeks ago. But it has been abysmal. It's been abysmal.
Are we getting too aggressive? Is that the problem? Like, you're just coasting at this point. You're coasting, and we're all very aggressive.
I think everyone's reaching and trying to catch me, and in doing so, there's no excuse for me. I'm not picking massive favorites. But yeah, it's, I think everyone's reaching in these final weeks. They still might.
You've hit on some good ones, though. I mean, you look at your last eight, nine bets. Like, you've hit on a plus 410, a plus 440, a plus 420, a plus 270. Like, you're not picking these plus 110, plus 130s.
No, I've hit some good ones. Wolves actually helped me on a couple of those, but
yeah, Wolves helped you twice.
Yeah, they did.
So you're going back to the well, huh?
I no, that was last week. I'm not going back to Wolves.
Oh, that was,
they can't.
Oh, okay.
So that was last week. I picked
you Wolves. Haven't highlighted yet. Sorry.
Oh, I highlighted the money that I lost, not the actual team.
Got it. There you go.
We can rectify that. There it is. There it is.
There you go.
No, so for this week, we have double match week. So we have games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we have a break. Then we have Saturday, Sunday matches. And so we have each picked two games, one from midweek, one from the end. Chris Smith has gone with Villa in the midweek. Villa is
plus 800. At City to beat City.
I mean, those are big odds.
Good bet.
That's a good bet. In fact, it's so good that I think someone else picked it.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
So you've taken Villa also midweek. Andrew is doing Andrew things. He picked Luton Arsenal to draw.
Sounds about right.
That's +1,000. He might as well have just gone like Tim to take Luton +2,200. Sometimes
yeah, I would have gone
wishful thinking for these guys a little bit, but those are some pretty big stretches.
I haven't seen have we seen a +2,200 this year? That seems high.
I don't think anyone's bet that.
I don't think anybody's had a 2,000 or above.
I'm sure a Sheffield and City was probably
City or something,
but yeah, that's.
I mean, that hits, and we've got a ball game. I mean, Tim hits that.
If Tim hits,
I mean, you're that, still up.
I'm still up about 600, but that's a lot.
Gosh, that's a lot. Hey, I can see what he's doing though.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance. I, on the other hand, I am taking West Ham +210 to beat Spurs at home. West Ham's at home.
That's a good bet.
I feel
safe, but good.
I feel all right about that one. And then on the weekend, Chris and Tim are both taking Burnley. Burnley is at Everton, and that is +440. Also not a bad bet.
And some good options this week.
There are some good options. And Andrew is taking Brentford. Brentford is +360 to beat Aston Villa. So
+380. It's changed. 380. Whatever line we give him, I don't know. He's not here, so.
I don't think it's going to matter.
I don't think it is either.
Who are you taking on the weekend?
I have got, let me pull up my sheet here. I took Sheffield United at home, which, you know, just that saying those words out loud gives me a little bit of consternation. But +650 at home over Chelsea. And I don't have a lot of faith in Chelsea. So, I mean, it feels like for 650, Chelsea on the road to go in and pull out a draw or win. I don't know. Like, Sheffield's bad, but I don't know. Chelsea's
not. They started
not
scoring goals. They've drawn their last two. Why not? It's worth the 360.
It's worth a 650. For 650 bet. So
650, yeah.
Totally.
I, on the weekend, am taking Luton. Luton's at home to Bournemouth. and they're getting 230 at home. Luton's played teams solid at home. It felt like a decent bet. I'm not super confident in Bournemouth, even though they've won. They haven't lost in four. They beat Luton a couple weeks ago in that makeup match, 4-3. That was the one where Luton was up 3-0.
Yes, it was. Oh, and gosh. I was so excited.
I think Luton's going to want to get revenge for that. So, well, that's Best Bet brought to you by FanDuel. Bet responsibly.
Sometimes.
There's a lot of matches to choose from. Chris, anything, starting tomorrow, anything midweek that you think is going to stand out?
Based on my final four now, I have not looked forward to see. So let's see what we've got here. We've got Wolves-Burnley. Yep. That's a game Wolves needs. They need to win that game.
Yep.
Got Palace-Bournemouth, same thing. Like, Palace should not, but they will, because they just continue to Palace it.
Yeah.
And not. We've got Arsenal-Luton, which that'll be fun. That's at Arsenal. So, yeah, that's the 2200 game. I don't know if that's going to be worth watching. We've got City-Villa. I mean, that's the game to watch.
That's the
Wednesday,
game.
That's the game. Yeah. That's at City. That'll be a fun one. And then later in the week.
Well, and Chelsea United, I think, should be interesting as well on Thursday. United, I was bummed Chris wasn't on this week, because I had questions for both guys. And my question for Chris was, is Ten Hag giving up? His post-match interview was so depressing. It honestly feels like he's just given up and he's just writing out the season. It was really sad. He looked like a shell of himself. There was no confidence. He wasn't really answering the questions of the interviewer. I mean, it was really sad. So,
it depends on your perspective, or it can be very entertaining.
Yeah, so. Of course. I mean, in some ways they're not entrenched in sixth by any mean, but I think catching Spurs is going to be tough.
They got some room to catch up.
Back.
And they've got Liverpool.
They've got
a
game in hand on all those teams behind them. So they feel comfortably in sixth. And then they're playing Chelsea, who just seems to always be stuck in 11th. So I don't know. That feels like a draw. That feels like a 1-1 draw to me.
right. Other games. Gosh, we have a lot of games. I mean, these double match weeks, there's so much happening.
So much.
Brighton Arsenal. Like, Arsenal's got to go on the road, play against Brighton. Wolves West Ham. That should be a good game next Saturday. And then Palace City. So it seems like all these teams are finally getting their shot at City. So yeah, should be good.
Yep. And then United Liverpool, that should be a great match on Sunday. Old Trafford.
Yeah, the morning match. 7:30.
Yep. Should be perfect.
I like the 7:30 Sunday game.
It's great. Yeah.
I feel like wake up early, turn the game on before church or whatever.
I hate
going
that
on.
The premier match of the week is often the last Sunday match, and it feels like
11 o'clock or something.
And it's always during church. And I feel like I've missed every City Liverpool match for the last years that they're, it's always slotted in that time. So it's good to see Liverpool United on that early Sunday match. Get to watch that one.
And Wednesday, 12:15 Villa City. Like, I got to start planning my midweeks around this and not work during this, because that's tough.
We have our all staff tomorrow at 11. I'm hoping it'll end a little early, or I'll miss the first 15 minutes.
Go quick.
Well, once you narrow down your team, you'll be able to subscribe to the calendar app of your team. And then
I'll know.
You'll have it.
Yeah, I'm not doing that yet. We don't need four teams auto-populating through the iCal.
Tim has the entire Premier League schedule in
That's
his.
Dumb.
That's
he probably has the Mariners 162 game schedule on there too.
He probably does.
Which I'm as big of a Mariners. I'm leaving. I was pumped leaving a 5-3 game to come record this podcast, and yet Tim's probably locked in. So,
yeah, Giants were within reach when we started this podcast, and now they are not. So.
I think you've got Dodgers Giants this week, don't you?
It is, yeah. It's they were down 3-0 or 3-0 when we started. It's 8-2 now. So
no, that's
all right.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Well, great job.
All right, that was fun, man.
Yeah, that was great. Do it next week.
All right, sounds good. Excited to meet these recruiters that I will be introduced to. So
yeah, that's right. All right, bud. Have a good night.
Good stuff. Hey, have a good night.